The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to focus on this evening's action in Bellewstown. A mixed card of action to look forward to with eight races on their card. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, mate.
Good. A bit of something for everyone in Bellewstown this evening.
The old mixed card slides into action. A lot of these sort of festivals, as it were, they tend to have this theme running through them, don't they, throughout their 3-4 day bonanza. And Bellewstown, 3-day meeting ending on Sunday, begins with typically a competitive card. But we've got some really good stuff there. Particularly the last 3 or 4 races look ultra competitive.
Yeah, it's not just the last 3 or 4 either. Look at the size of the handicaps as well. We've got 16 runners in each of them, or in many of them, and it is a competitive card this evening, isn't it? A bit tricky.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's a bit of a minefield, if you ask me, but there are a couple of bets on the card which I'm going to have. I certainly won't be betting in every race. Obviously, selections will be thick and fast. But yeah, there's only really, I would say, 3 races I'm interested in from a betting perspective. You'll get the sort of general vibe as I spin my way through the card.
Okay, few strong opinions then. The 5:20 is the first race this evening, and we start with an Irish Stallion Farms European Breeders' Fund median auction maiden, and it's over a mile, and 7 of them in the lineup for this. And Duchess Andorra heads the betting at 5-2, 11-4 for Bad News Bear. Watteed is 3-1, 9-2 for the Scourge. Kodiak's Back is 11-2, and then 25-1 or bigger prices for the other two runners. Who do you like here, Andy? Because there's a few of them have some decent form in there, but nothing really standing out.
No, not really, no. A lot may depend on tactics here. 7-runner race, what gets to the front. Usually front runners tend to hold sway at Bellewstown, obviously. Very unique track. Very tight hairpin bend round the home turn and then into a shortish home straight where if you get up a bit of a head of steam, then that usually signifies you're going to hang on. I tipped Kodiak's Back last time out, and I thought he ran quite well down in Limerick, but he was run out of it late on by the very impressive Dermot Well-trained winner, Stay Denied. And back in second was Bad News Bear, who comes from a stable in really good form. And the speed figure of that race is fairly good, and I quite like that race. I thought it was a decent race of its kind. And sets a reasonable standard on my reckoning. I'd probably stick with those two in that order. I'd have to go for Bad News Bear to probably get the better of Kodiak's Back yet again. But they can be backed at 7-2 and 15-2 respectively, top prices this morning. So I think if you kind of split your stakes between the two, you're liable to drop on the winner there. I certainly think Watteed has had plenty of chances of giving up on him. And Duchess Andorra would probably represent the main threat to both of my two selections, having finished second beyond Brilliance last time we saw it back in the end of Mount Fairy House. But I'll stick to that theory of the Stay the Night form down in Limerick working out and go with the two I mentioned.
Okay, on to the second race, the 5:50, and this is a handicap for 4-year-olds and overrated, 47-65. It's over a mile, and Marl heads the betting, the old boy, at 9-2. It's 13-2 for Christie's Call, 17-2 for Tahaf, and €0, and Granny on Fire, 9-1 for Victor's Beach, 10-1 for Giacomo, and 11-1 or bigger prices the rest. So Marl heads the betting, Andy. He's 11 years of age now, and he's 3 years without a win. I suppose his form is pretty decent this season, but do you see him as having a favourite's chance?
That's the problem, isn't it? I think you've hit the nail on the head. He hasn't won for 3 years, and his last victory came here at Bellewstown, so that's the positive. The other positive is that he ran well in the other day down in Limerick in a race which is run at a sound tempo, and he was seen yet again to do some good late work at the end. And that's the problem with Mal and how he's kind of like perceived with bookmakers, because he keeps finishes on the fringes of the action, and he's one of those horses they dare not put in at a big price because he's invariably likely to run his race all the time. He's fairly solid, and he's usually fairly solid each way fodder. Yeah, I've looked at his last sort of 10 runs. He's only really been out the frame on 2 or 3 occasions. So he's not one that bookmakers want to go fancy prices about, and that's why he's so short. Plus the fact that the opposition, similar to him, has got really, really dodgy profiles. I mean, none of these are coming in here in any great form. You've got to go a long way back, actually, to find a latest victory from any of this lot. So something's got to give. Also, I think the second favourite here, Christie's Call, is similar to Marley in many respects in that he doesn't win very often. But I thought he ran really well last time at Ferry House. He just blatantly didn't get the trip. That was the first time he's tried a mile and a half, and he just didn't quite get home. He actually lost a lot of places late on, so it was probably a better run than at first glance. And prior to that, he'd finished second in a very strongly run race, 7 mile and a quarter behind Irish Reel at Roscommon. And we saw a horse that finished way down the field in that race last night, Frank the Foremost, called Piacini Road, who had the blinkers on first time out and absolutely bolted at Leppisan. So speed figure-wise, actually, Christie's Call comes out really well on my numbers here, and William Hill have pushed him out to 7-1 this morning. He's got a good draw. I'm taking a bit of a chance that the Marley's OK for him, but he has won on Dundalk before at over a mile, so I'm hopeful that the combination of a good break and his recent good form in speed figure races holds sway.
Go on to the third race next, the 6:20, and this is a handicap for three-year-olds and older, rated 60 to 90. It's over a mile, and the betting is headed by Adroit, who's 100 to 30. The Joe Lyons Oasis Dream filly, who's had two starts and won the latter of them, unexposed, and Joe Lyons Yard is in fine form. Second favourite is Three Bells, who also arrives here in winning form and is 4-1. Shritor's hit the crossbar on the last couple of occasions, 13-2 third favourite this morning. He's got rhythm, is 8-1, 17-2 for Barrack. Footprint is 10-1 and then 12-1 or bigger prices. The rest, who do you like in the 6:20, Andy?
Again, I think the market's got it absolutely spot on. I think the bookmakers are absolutely right on the money, sticking Adroit in favourite. She could be anything really here. We don't really know how well or badly handicapped she might well be off 80. My gut reaction is that could be quite lenient. You know, she started off her career in eye-catching fashion when just getting run out of it by the odds-on shot photo call, but she certainly went into the notebook that night, and I tipped her and napped her next time out at Garin when she won on the 22nd of June. She tracked the leader, Callery, made a good fist of it early on, went a good gallop, and they generated a really big speed figure between them, the first two or three. And Adroit, I thought, was really strong at the finish as well, suggesting that she should appreciate a step up in trip. And as I said, with the Joe Lyons horses in good form, if she gets a good break from stall four, because I presume that Three Bells, her main market rival or lead, she could be quite dangerous in the latter stage of the race because she seems to really relish a stamina test. Three Bells looks the obvious danger. As I mentioned, this horse comes in off the back of a good win last time out at Sligo when making all the running from a low draw, taking advantage of that. And he's also won here at Bellierstown last season. He was over tonight's course and distance. So with a good break from stall two, Robbie Downey will be keen to get this horse into a good position and hopefully kick for home in the home straight. But if Adroit's anywhere near this fella turning for home, then I'd like to think that Joe Lyons filly's good enough to run him out late on. So Adroit, it continued to keep up the good work of the stable.
Okay, Adroit to win the 6:20 then. The 6:50 is race four on the card, and this is a handicap for for three-year-olds and over, rated 47 to 65. That at entry have not won a race under rules of racing, and riders who have not ridden more than 10 winners under any rules of racing, so it's effectively a maiden handicap. Byron Beauty is the 9-2 favourite, 5-1 for Roman General, 11-2 for Una Vientina, 13-2 for Everything Zane, Boxer Beat 15-2, 12-1 and a bit of money for Shabra Charity, who was 16s earlier on this morning, 16-1 for Ginger Genie and Anna Heaven and Ariari as well, and Daddy Secret, in fact a lot of them at 16-1 here, and then 18-1 or bigger prices. The rest, who do you like in the tricky looking 6:20?
Very much a tricky race, as you say, Mark. Not one for the faint hearted, and probably not one to get too bogged down with. Obviously any money in the direction of the William Mullins train, Una Vienta, will certainly have to be take a note of. Everything Zane's fairly consistent but doesn't win very often. I certainly think the favourite is an interesting runner here, Byron Beauty, and I'd probably just have a very, very small interest on this horse along with another one I'm going to mention at a bigger price. I do like the lad who rides this horse, Keith Moriarty, claims 10, and that's a really valuable 10 he takes off. He rode Calm Beta Victory the other day at Nice, and he looks quite polished in the saddle for a young lad. And Harry Rogers, who's got a good record here at Bellierstown, this is one of the tracks he tends to send a lot of runners to post. She caught the eye last time out behind Tiercross, in a good race down in Fairy House. She was actually last with 3 furlongs to run, but her final 3 furlong work meant that she actually ran over the top of most of them in the home straight. So on the evidence of that, a step up to 6 mile shouldn't inconvenience this mare by Byron. And even though she's won this in 11, I think they've probably just about found her trip. And off a mark of just 40 with that lad's 10 off, I think she's a worthy favourite. And the other one I'm going to throw into the mix at big price, 18 to 1 with William Hill this morning. I do think this is worth a few quid just to top up the bet on Byron Beauty. And that's Peter Casey's Palace Art, who ran a really eye-catching race last time out at Leopardstown in a race which is working out incredibly well. Panama Hat, who won the other day down in Fairy House, has boosted the form. And also Spring Focus, who was third in that race, Jim Balder's Charge, lowered the colours of my nap last night, Tarzinia, back at the same track. And keeping on from the back of the field was his Palace Art, and only get beat 8 lengths. So the form of that race looks pretty good. Robbie Downey takes 7 off. So this one gets in off a mark of 48. Should be appreciate the step-up in trip. And at 18 to 1 does look rather overpriced. So Byron Beauty and Palace Art are the way I'd play that 650.
Okay. The 720 is race 5 on the card, and this is the final race on the flat. It's a 3-year-old and older handicap for horses rated 60 to 19. It's over 1.75 miles, and Snowman is the 100-30 favourite this morning. 7-2 for Take Your Cap Off, 15-2 for Lindenhurst and Black Spot On, 9-1 for Stranfield Lady. Giant's Quest is 11-1. It's also 11s for Orthinger, and 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. Who would you like in the 720, Andy?
I'm going to play 2 against the field here. I'd certainly respect the favourite, Snowmane, being a lightly raced, unexposed 3-year-old who won very eye-catchingly down in Down Royal the other day, suggesting that he should appreciate the step-up in trip because he was really strong in the latter part of that race. And off a mark of 84, he could be quite well handicapped. But I do like my dyed-in-the-wool, grizzled old handicappers in these races. I often think that they get underestimated and they can be very dangerous. And the two I quite like are two horses who have been very industrious over the last year or two. And I've got some good form at this track. One of them is Take Your Cap Off, a mare by King's Theatre, now in the hands of Gordon Elliott. Of course, she used to be with Jessica Harrington, as many of you all know. Since this horse has joined Gordon and has the tongue tie fitted, her form figures read 3-2-1-1. She's won her last two races, both over hurdles. And the last of them was in embarrassing ease down at Ross Common, when she literally sauntered to the front approaching the second lap as she just joined in and got the better of a really good field in a strongly run race. She won off a mark of 123. She'd probably be now racing in the 120-130 mark. And, you know, she might be an interesting outsider perhaps for something like the Galway Plate in the near future. So off a bargain basement mark of 77... this horse, who was a good third as well at the last time we saw it on the flat in a charity race at the Punchestown Festival behind Hill, remembered, certainly could be very well handicapped. So I do think Take Your Cap Off is worthy of an interest. And the other horse I want to mention here is Harry Rogers' 8-year-old, Giant's Quest, who's got a really good record here at Bellierstown. He finished second to Rawnack in a very competitive handicap hurdle here last year before going on to take the Muller Curry Cup in August when he was a 7-4 chance. Ridden by Ruby Walls. Back and forth that day was Take Your Cap Off, so, you know, there's not a great deal between them on that reckoning. He's got a mark of 128 over hurdle, so he's useful over timber. And he comes here having sort of shaped really encouragingly, went fifth behind Henry Higgins in a strongly run race at Leopardstown. Prior to that, he was sixth off a mark of 79 in the Irish Cesarewitch, you know, when he's beaten 24 good handicappers. So he's no slouch, this horse, even though he's an 8-year-old. He goes back to the scene of probably his best ever efforts. And he's like 10 to 1 this morning, Giant's Quest. So with track form already assured, I do think he's going to run a massive, massive race. It's hard to see him not finishing the frame. So Take Your Cap Off, and Giant's Quest are certainly more, you know, worth considering in a race where there's going to be a lot of money for this Snowmane.
Okay, a couple against the field there then in the 720. The 750 is race 6 on the card, and this is a handicap hurdle. We're over obstacles for the first time here, and it's over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and X Squared heads the betting. 130 this morning, has won his last two starts and bolted up at Ballinrobe last time. This is probably a better race though, but Paul Carberry's been booked, so that's encouraging. Security Breach 9-2 with Vive La France, 5-1 for Casimir Road, Kilcarry Bridge 17-2, 11-1 for False Economy and Maxim Gorky, and then 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. Which one do you side with here, Andy?
Yeah, there's two that I like in this race, similar to quite a few races tonight. I'm probably going to have a couple of bets in each race just to try and secure the winner. I do think X Squared is a worthy favourite and definitely the one to beat here. even though he won the other day, and you say he won with embarrassing ease, he won by 11 lengths, but that doesn't really tell the whole story. He carried top weight, so that was a good effort anyway. But in the comments, it doesn't actually say anything about the mistake he made at the hurdle in front of the stands. He took off too soon, and he landed with his hind legs on the brush hurdle, and he literally slithered to the ground. I was amazed that he actually won that race, having made such an horrendous blunder at halfway. He would have knocked back a lesser horse. So I think he could be massively upgraded for that win anyway. We've seen the seventh already win, Top Chief from the Gordon Elliott stable, who bolted it the other day at Perth to frank the form. And I think Paul Carberry's booking here off a very light weight is massively significant. Not as though obviously John Cullen can't get the job done, because he did a good job on the horse last time out. But a horse that travels really strongly, that needs to be put to sleep and put to bed in the early part of the race, is a horse in keeping with how Paul Carberry likes to ride. So I could see this horse creeping into the race very late. The fast ground will suit him, and I think he's the one to beat. And the other one I'd definitely have to chuck a few quid on is, because he looks as though he's just been campaigned specifically for this meeting again, is Cashmere Road, trained by Stephen Ryan. He warmed up for this race with a good run the other day down in Punchestown behind Desert Moor Stream in a very strongly run race, keeping on gaming in the latter stages. I mean, that was a much better race than this one tonight. That was a 0-132. As I said, he's already won here before when he beat a horse called Ross Voss in a novice's hurdle. Indeed, that was his last win, so he does like the track. So at 5-1, I think Cashmere Road is definitely worth an interest, along with X Squared. I've got a feeling he could be on the winner if you back one of those two.
Okay, on to the 8:20 next race, 7 on the card, and this is a novice hurdle over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and only 4 of them in the lineup, but an interesting 4 as well. Indian Icon is the 6-4 favourite. Henry Higgins 13-8. Cape Glory is 9-4 and 20-1 for the visitor. Cape Glory and Indian Icon both chasing hat tricks here, Andy, but Henry Higgins is the one that caught my eye this morning. The fact that he's running Grade One and Grade Two company so far, this is quite a drop in class.
Yeah, great shout, Mark. Yeah, this is enough of the night. Henry Higgins, really fancy this horse this evening. I think he's off a very good mark on the over hurdles now that, A, he's going to be encountering fast ground, and, B, he seems to have a love affair with the hood, which was put in position for the first time on the flat last time out at Leopardstown. What a performance that was when he won on the 6th of June, recording a massive overall speed figure. Very, very good sectional times in the last 3 furlongs. The way he quickened up was quite something to behold. He actually got stopped twice in the run as well, and he still recorded a faster time than Miss United, who won the listed race on the same card. So, you know, this horse is definitely going to be very, very dangerous through the summer jumping campaign. I've got a feeling he's going to run up a bit of a sequence. Of course, if he takes to the hood, now he goes over timber. I certainly think he's got the legs of the other two anyway, particularly Cape Glory, who is a bit of a hard ride, to say the very least, and he seems to need all of 2.5 miles nowadays just to get him into top gear. So I think dropping back to 2-mile 1, taking on a horse like Henry Higgins who's got a lot of speed, might just do for him. And Indian Icon will probably be the main danger. I'd imagine that Mark Enright will try and make the running on this individual, because he wouldn't want a dawdle. He needs to try and drag the stamina out of Henry Higgins somewhere, shape or form. And he comes off the back of 2 good wins at Kilbeggan, a track very similar to this. So I think this is a race just basically teed up for Henry Higgins. There should be a reasonable pace on, as I said, in the shape of Indian Icon, and Henry Higgins will just mow these down later on.
Okay, Henry Higgins and the nap selection for Andy this evening. The 8:50 is the final race on the card, race 8, and this is a handicap hurdle for 4-year-olds and overrated, 80-109 over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and Quarton heads the betting at 11-4. 4-1 for Maidor. House Limit is 17-2. 10-1 for Hurricane Sky. City Line is 10-1. 11-1 for Lost Book, and 14-1 or bigger prices. The rest tricky enter the card. Andy, who would you like for the getting out stakes?
Well, I'm going to give you a couple of options here for those that want to try and back the win of the race. Then you'd probably want to look no further than Maidor, who's been chalked about a very generous looking 4-1 with William Hill this morning. Tony Martin's charge hasn't been seen out since he won at Tipperary in mid-May, winning quite snugly in the end, even though the official margin suggested it was a little bit tighter than that. But I thought Shane Shortall always had that matters under control that day when he beat Marsham. He was a really good horse around that track, and Shane obviously takes the 7 off that some of the penalty he picked up the other day. His main danger looks to be Quarton, who come from a long way back the other day at Downroar, but the winner, Lebenitz, rather let the form down for podcasters the other day at Ballinrobe, so I'm not totally convinced about that form. And the other strategy, if you like, in this race would be to back City Line place only or put him into meet-way doubles and trebles. Now, I'm not suggesting for 1 minute this horse will win because he's never won in his life. In fact, he's 34 races without a victory. And the reason why he's 34 runs without a victory was basically magnified by his performance at Perthy the day when he literally snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. When he jumped to the front, went two lengths clear on the running and then succumbed to the late rally of Super Collider. Basically, I just didn't think he tried that much on the running, but he did travel extremely strongly throughout that race, as is his wont. And he's a horse that is basically liable to get himself in the frame come rain or shine. Whether he'll actually get the job done and win, I do not know. But because he's 10-1 in the morning, you might be able to nick sort of 2-1, 5-2 place with him on the pro market with William Hill. So if you didn't want to back Maidor at 4-1, you might want to try and back City Line either each way or place only.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Can you just spin us through your selections one more time? We'll have a bit of a summary.
Yeah, a bit of variety is the spice of life, of course, as they say. It's at Bellies Town tonight. And I'll stick with Bad News Bear and Kodiak's back in the first. Marl has got rather enticing-looking claims in the 550, but I'm going to pass him over for Christie's call. I'd expect a good pace on in the 620 with three bells and straight to Zanzibar, likely to make the run. And they may just set it up for Gerlines as a droit. Byron Beauty comes off the back of a good one last time out at Fairy House, is the number one choice in the 650. But I'd also have to have a little bit of a saver on Palace Art. Giant's Quest and Take Your Cap Off. I don't think you'd go too far wrong if you back either one or both of those two horses in the 720. Same comments apply for X Squared and Cashmere Road in the 750. Nap of the Night by Distance is Henry Higgins, who's been taking on Grade 1 horses throughout his early part of his career, and comes here off the back of a smooth victory and a fast time at Leopardstown. And then the final race, either Maidor to win at 4-1, or if you didn't want to do that, go with City Line, place only on the pro market in the 850.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck with our selections and enjoy it in Bellevue's town this evening.
Will do. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.